You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Welcome to the program. Today is the 18th day of January 2021. We're going to be reading a bit of a shorter program today, but we're going to continue on with Gifts and Promises of the Priesthood, Part 3 of Chapter 5 of the Holy Priesthood, Volume 1. And I will just start with the reading. And I'm just going to start with the reading. So it's got to be a bit of a shorter program today because I just wasn't able to get everything ready in time. And I still have to go to work at 5. So it is the way it is. Maybe my wife will read a little bit later, but I'll start now. So, visitation of angels. Angels of God are messengers of God who work with those bearing the priesthood on the earth. They make up the heavenly hosts who act as servants, revelators, and even the armies of heaven. These angels can function as mediators between God and man. They can pass back and forth from the spiritual realm to the natural at will, unimpeded by physical boundaries. Zondervan's Encyclopedia of the Bible, Volume 1, page 160. See the example in Acts chapter 12, verse 7. And I just got to say this. Angels in the Old Testament and in the Hebrews are in, like, you know, the Hebrew language, hold on, Olivia. If he's banging on pots, and you know I'm doing the radio show, maybe you could not just stand there and look at him. Thank you. All right. I have a family. It is the way it is. This is the way. Anyway, so I don't even want to know, Olivia. All this dog food that he's gotten out, I don't want to see it. Okay. Okay. Sorry, we have an 18-month-old, and he's infatuated with taking things out of where they are and putting them someplace else, or dumping out dog food where he can get a hold of it. But we have these things called baby gates, and they should stop him from going into the areas where the dog food is, but they don't, because the kids don't close them. So anyway, back to the whole thing. Sorry about the tangent and sidetrack and whatever. In Hebrew, like Melech is angel. It just means somebody sent from God. So when Joseph Smith was sent to the inhabitants of the earth to declare the gospel, he was a Melech. Because of Catholicism and pagan Rome, they like hijacked these meanings and stuff. And yeah, it does mean that there are certain angels who fly from the midst of heaven, like in Revelations. And I saw another angel fly from the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, crying with a loud voice, saying, repent ye, the day of the Lord is at hand. So we know that in the last days, an angel will fly from the midst of heaven, from the throne of God, and he will come to the earth to give the everlasting gospel to a man that lives on the earth. And that actually happened when Moroni, an ancient prophet from the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, from the tribe of Joseph, he came back as a resurrected being, and he gave Joseph Smith the tools and the means to put the restored gospel back on the earth, because of the apostasy that had happened, where, you know, Satan, he likes to get his claws into everything all the time, and he likes to tear things apart that are from God, and there has to be prophets to restore the truth and to get the people back on track. And that's happened throughout world history. But in the last days, that prophet that had that angel sent to him was Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith restored the gospel to the earth in its fullness. Now, there has been an apostasy, not as significant, but that's because there hasn't been as much time for the apostasy to happen. But there has been an apostasy in the church, in the gospel, and anyone who actually studies this stuff knows it, like really gets into it, not just the correlated church manuals that they give you, but actually goes back and studies what has been taught as compared to what is being taught. There is a huge difference in certain topics. So, but the whole reason I'm getting into that is because Joseph Smith was an angel or a Melech. He was one sent forth from God. Now, I have also been sent forth from God. And I started in 95 with my experience with Jesus Christ in the temple in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I was taken into the Holy of Holies, or what I consider to be the Holy of Holies, the highest room in the temple, on the east side of the temple, the middle tower on the east side. And I was taken into the presence of the Father, and he said, you will be the last prophet before the return of Jesus Christ, which really confused me, because at the time I was a Baptist, and I was very anti-Mormon. So, and then going on, and God's prepared me over these many years. In 96, I met the missionaries for the church, and that's when I was converted, even though that thing happened in 95, and it confused me, like, a lot. In 96, I converted. In 97, I got my temple endowments. in the temple where that happened, which I had never been to before, and I wanted to see if that place was the same as what I had seen when I was taken up in the spirit and taken to this place in the spirit, like an out-of-body experience. Also in 97, and it was, by the way, everything was the same, and it was like, wow. In 97, I got my patriarchal blessing, which talked about me. It says, I have been given the greatest gift that God has to bestow, the gift of eternal life. The stake president and stake patriarch said that that meant that I had my calling and election made sure, which was really weird because a year before that, I was like full on goth, hated God, hated, I was Baptist, but I was Baptist before that, but I had, I'd gotten into some things and I was very angry at God and everybody. You know, so I was like, how in the world can I have my calling election made sure? Like, I just converted. Like, I'm still having the issues. Get him out of here. Don't argue with me. Just get him out of here. So I was like, how in the world can I have my calling and election made sure? And when I was asking God about it, he said, it's not because of who you are. It's because of who you were before you came into this mortality. Which that also like caused me a lot of like, what? I mean, and okay, but then going on to 2003, as I was over these many years getting many answers to my prayers, being taught by the Spirit and a whole bunch of different things, I wanted to know what it meant to have your calling and election made sure. I wanted to know what all these things meant. And I was taken up in the flesh and I saw the Father and the Son face to face. I had the Father lay his hands upon my head and seal me up unto himself and up unto eternal life. And it became an eyewitness of the Father and the Son in the flesh. Or one sent forth an eyewitness, a special witness, of the resurrected flesh of the Father and the Son. Continuing on with my life, confused by like, how in the world is it that I could have this experience where I've seen them in the flesh, in person, and had their hands laid upon my head, not understanding, like, okay, but Joseph Smith didn't have this happen to him. Like, it was kind of confusing to me, but I knew it was true. You know, in 2004, I wrote President Hinckley a letter, and I told him the experience that I had, and they sent L. Tom Perry to come interview me about it. And L. Tom Perry comes, and he slaps me on the back. At the end of the interview, he came to my ward where I was, and I was in a singles ward at the time, and he slaps me on the back. He says, well, God's the one that chooses his prophets because we sure don't, which confused me again because I'm like, but I thought you were prophets. I understand things now that I didn't understand then, but it was kind of cool because, like, L. Tom Perry just walked in and talked to me right, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes before sacrament started. The stake president called me on a Thursday and he said, hey, somebody wants to meet you. It's really important that you are early, 30 minutes early to sacrament meeting, and they'll find you. And that was L. Tom Perry. So that experience, I'm like, wow, that's really interesting, you know. And he gave me back a copy. They kept the original letter and all the diagrams and everything in their church vault. And there's actually two different vault numbers for that, with stamps of Office of the First Presidency, and then there's like two different archive numbers. And I believe it's one for the general vault and one for the first presidency vault, but I'm not sure. Anyway, so all these years go by, and I'm growing and learning and doing the things that God is telling to do, and having these experiences where God is like taking care of me and just all this stuff. And then in 2012, God puts me and my wife together, and neither one of us knew each other. We're pretty much complete strangers. But we trusted God, but neither one of us wanted to be in a relationship because we'd had bad relationships in the past, and we're like, no. Anyway, so, and then I learned about Wilford Woodruff being the keynote speaker at the Bohemian Grove in 2012, which really shook me up, because if you know anything about what the Bohemian Grove is, you know that that's like Satan stuff. Like, why in the world would Wilford Woodruff be a keynote speaker in the Bohemian Grove, Bohemian Club, right before the day before he dies? Like, Wilford Woodruff was poisoned to death. And I found out this information, and I was able to do the research, finding New York, I think it was New York Times, it was New York major newspaper, San Francisco Times, and Salt Lake Tribune all talked about this thing that happened. And God continued leading me on, you know, preparing me and I had a bunch of stuff happen until I got turned in to the stake president for my beliefs. And then they said that they were going to excommunicate me. I was an over-the-road truck driver at the time. I was not able to get back to the trial. Told them like 3 days beforehand, I'm not going to be able to be there. I want to be there. Can you extend it so that I can be there? Because I was trying to get back from California to Hartford, Connecticut, where I parked my truck, and then I would have to drive all the way over to the place in Vermont where the state president was. You know, I just couldn't get there. I wanted to be there. But they excommunicate me without me even being there, and I was very upset, and I was like, why is this happening to me? Like, I, you know, I can prove that these things were taught in the early church, and it wasn't like I was, like, openly teaching them or anything, you know. And then just my experience, I told them about my experiences. The state president grew red in the face, and he was like, you're a bold-faced liar. And I was like, well, if you just talk to L. Tom Perry, they know about me, you know. Like, that was 2004 that I met L. Tom Perry and told him about my experiences. This is 2012, well, 2013 when the trial was, because it was like at the end of 2012. And I'm on my knees, and I'm like crying about the whole thing. And God says, kneel down before me and ask me who you are. And then I was shown. And then God told me to be bold with my witness. Now, before that point, I didn't want to be bold with my witness, because we were told that if it's too sacred to talk about, you should keep these things to yourself. So basically, I might tell friends, or like close friends and family members, but I also like wanted to share that God still reveals himself, you know, like, and they don't talk about, the church doesn't talk about, you know, them seeing Jesus Christ, but I know that he does reveal himself to people, because I've had it happen to me. So I would make these YouTube videos and talk about my experiences in the third person. I know a guy who has had these, and I would, you know, but God told me to be bold with my witness and to go forth. So I was sent, and I qualify to be considered a melech of Jehovah. So to be an angel or to be a melech doesn't just mean that you are from the heavenly hosts, immortal, whatever. You can be sent forth as one who is mortal. And all of the prophets who have been sent forth are melechs. But because of the apostasy and misunderstanding things over time, things get changed, definitions and meanings of things get changed, then you think that angels are just something else. Oh, okay, hold on. I got to say something real quick. How long have we been home for? It's been a while, hasn't it? Why is the fireplace not on? It is freezing cold in here. Lydia wants to say something amazing. The two Lennies, which are two cats that have nothing to do with the radio show. Go on. You found a mommy Lenny? It's probably their mommy. Okay. Go away. Go away. I don't care. Now I have to explain this to the radio audience, and they don't care either. Okay, so last year, we rescued three kittens from Santaquin, from the Kraut, Kevin Kraut's trailer that they had, that this cat had these babies inside their trailer, and then, like, my daughter goes in and rescues them, because Beverly sees, you know, sees these little kittens popping at their head, like, looking through the window. Anyway, so we go rescue these babies, and the mother is dead inside, like, half eaten by these kittens. Yeah. So anyway, we rescue these kittens. Like, the next day, we got home at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's three other kittens standing on our porch. They're all about the same age. It was, like, 1 in the morning or 1:30 in the morning. So anyway, I was like, oh, hi, kittens. And, like, I go over and I, like, open the door. And, like, as I'm walking over, they're all, like, meowing at me. I can't eat that right now. Okay, fine. It looks really hot. It's delicious. I love it. Okay. Anyway, so I walk onto the porch and all these little kittens are meowing at me. King at me. Okay. We live in Emery County. The other kittens are from Utah County. There's no way that they're related to each other. But we had two gray ones, one long hair and one short haired, two white ones with black on their faces, like they look like Siamese cats. Both of them do, Lydia. Go away. Stop arguing with me. One of them has more black than the other, and my daughter's like, one of them doesn't have black on its face. Yes, it does. Go away. Go away. She says it's gray. Go away. Go clean something. Go mow the lawn. Go mow the lawn. There's like snow outside. Anyway, and then we got two orange ones, and they are identical. Well, almost.
I can tell them apart.
My son Emmett can tell them apart because one of them has a little bit more white on its chin than the other. But, like, they're not related. And then we've got these six cats that are like little twinsies of each other. It's kind of funny. I think that there are guardian cats. Yeah, we only have five now because one of them got hit by a car.
Then we got two.
Okay, go away. I don't care. This has nothing to do with my radio show. And if you don't want to live in the basement, then you will leave me alone. And if that doesn't work, I will put you with the goats. All right. Continuing on. We're on page 92. They appeared in the Garden of Eden and every dispensation since then. Orson Pratt elaborates on the frequency of their appearances. Quote, angels appeared to Abraham and took a dinner with him. Angels appeared to Jacob and wrestled with him all night. Now, I got to say this. This is before the resurrection and these angels have flesh. If that doesn't tell you Christians out there something, I don't even know what to say, because before the resurrection, they didn't have flesh, but they did, because there's older earths than this one. God's work and glory is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man and to fill the universe with this creation. If you think that this is his first and only, like, place that he's had his beings, his spirits, his children on an earth, you are out of your mind. With as much information as we have, holding on to those old false sectarian notions is idiotic, to say the least. But anyway, continuing on, angels appeared to Moses and to Joshua and to Manoah, to Gideon, to David, to Daniel, to Zechariah, to Joseph, the husband of Mary, to the shepherds by night, to the apostles, to Philip, to Paul, to Cornelius, and finally to Paul. And finally, Paul says they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And that's true. There were ministering spirits, but then there were ones like the ones that appeared to Jacob that wrestled with him. And by the way, that wasn't an angel. That was an archangel, but I'll get into that. But like Abraham sat down and had a meal with them. Spirits can't eat. They can't. But they can if they have flesh, and they do. Some of them do. Because they're resurrected beings from an older earth. Now, the ones that we have that come to us today, they actually are, they can be resurrected from this earth or from an older earth. But, and then there's my favorite scripture, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Love it. The apostles exhorted the saints not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. Oh, I just, duh. It's kind of funny. Like, I wasn't looking at the text, and I'm all quoting the next scripture. The apostles exhorted the saints not to be forgetful to entertain strangers, for some in so doing had entertained angels unawares. There's nothing in scriptures which indicates that the angels will cease to appear among men. Therefore, there is nothing in the circumstances of the appearance of those of the angels to those four witnesses that is unscriptural. And there certainly is nothing unreasonable in an angel being sent in our day. Orson Pratt's Works, page 211. Angels came to the rescue of many ancient saints. They often communed with mortals, teaching, warning, and instructing them concerning God's will. They also came to the saints during the Restoration, as Heber C. Kimball noted, quote, supposing that there was a tub standing here and the people perishing for want of water, could not I, were I beyond the veil, come and pour in water? Yes, and you could not see me, unless your eyes are touched by the power of God. You cannot see an angel. It is as much as you can do to see me. I can't even read the text on the thing without bifocals. Hey, I actually learned that this weekend. The eye doctor says I need bifocals. I'm like, I don't want bifocals. I don't even want glasses. Angels are ministering spirits, and do you suppose that they will see this people want? Angels are ministering spirits, and do you suppose that they will see this people want? Okay, I get it. Brother Brigham and I once started to travel with $16.50, and in 500 miles we paid out $82 and had some money left over when we got to the end of our journey. Do you not suppose that we believe in angels and the holy beings having visited us on those occasions? Cannot angels flourish or furnish saints with our with money? They can if they want to, but they don't always have to. Our wants were supplied, and we are witnesses of that fact, and we still live and shall continue to live and bear testimony to this generation. Do you not think that angels can bring flour? Can they not go and take it from those who have plenty and put it in empty bins, sacks and barrels belonging to good men, and that too knowing without your knowing it? It is very common for one to increase and for another to decrease. Prepare yourselves for the future scenes through which you may be called to pass. Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, page 7. Jedediah Grant said the difference between the saints and other folks was that we believe in the ministry of angels. He said, quote, they do not believe in gathering to where the Almighty can talk to them. They do not even pray to the Lord to send an angel to speak to them. The Latter-day Saints try to live their religion that they might converse with angels, receive the administration of holy messengers from the throne of God, and be sanctified in their spirits, affections, and all their desires, that the Holy Ghost may rest upon them and their hearts be filled therewith, and become competent to bear the presence of angels. May the Lord bless you and wake you up upon these points of doctrine, that your faith and works may even correspond, that your blessings be equal with those of the ancient people of God. Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 279. We're actually 77% through with this today, so we'll be done pretty quick. And like I said, I do have a guest call in, and the studio's open on blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the studio is open for guest callers to call in. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. One of the most important objectives of the saints is to magnify the priesthood so that they may have the association of angels, even the archangel. Many of our own ancestors and relatives have become angels who are near us and are very aware of what we do. The prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, "The spirits of the just are exalted to a greater and more glorious work. Hence, they were blessed in their departure to the world of spirits. Enveloped in flaming fire, they are not far from us, and know and understand our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and are often pained therewith." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 326. And just something I got to say for this understanding. So the Holy Ghost comes in the flesh. Everybody's like, well, because Joseph Smith taught that he would. Everybody's like, well, who's going to be the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost is gone? And he's in the flesh. Right. Here's the mystery revealed to you in your ears this day. The Holy Ghost, or God the Witness, there is only one chosen to be that place, according to Joseph Smith and according to what I'm telling you now, because I have it independent of him, that for this earth, for each earth, there is God the Creator, who is the Father, God the Redeemer, who is the Son, and God the Witness, who is the Testator, or who we call the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, what that's in Hebrew. Now, these are three are mighty and strong, and they're under the direction of an Elohim, who is under the direction of the Council of the Elohim, who is under the direction of God, the Eternal Father and the Eternal Mother. For this earth, under the direction of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, are 12 who are also mighty and strong. And under them, there are the noble and great ones, and under them, the rest of us. And there are different ranks and divisions all the way down. Everybody has a place. Now, these ministering spirits act under the direction of God the Witness to do the things that they do. And there are different vice generals under the general who is God the Witness. Think of it as a military organization, because that's exactly what it is. It's the same thing, the church structure, it's the same thing. The first presidency of the church are over the 12 apostles, and they're over them. I'm not going to get into the logistics. Some people argue with that. They're over them, or at least they should be. And then under them, you have the different quorums of 70s who are area presidents who go out to the whole world. Under them, there are stake presidents who have their jurisdiction in their stakes. And under the stake presidents, there are bishops who have multiple wards and branch presidents. You know, they have multiple areas that they're over within a stake. It's the same setup in the heavens. So on earth as it is in heaven, so on in heaven as it on earth, whatever. Every single one of us have ministering spirits and sometimes even angels that watch over us, that act under the direction and the authority of the Holy Ghost in our lives personally. That's how the Holy Ghost can be everywhere all at once, but actually one person in one place at one time. This whole idea that God the Witness or the Holy Ghost is everywhere all at once. And he's like the sun, and the sun is in a place, but you can feel the sun all throughout the solar system. No. Sorry. He is one individual who has to come into mortality during the telestial phase of an earth to gain a body and die in that body during that time so that he can gain a resurrection during the millennium, actually before the millennium. While he is on the earth, another takes his place who is the vice general of that office. So like the president of the United States is the president. The vice president is the vice president. When the president gets sick and cannot perform his duties, he will step down. He's incapacitated, whatever. The vice president will be acting president of the United States of America, but they are not actually the president of the United States of America unless something happens to the president, and then they're sworn in. But they're not actually president until they're sworn in. But it's the same thing with God the Witness. There is a position of the testator for each earth. The testator has position under him of a vice president who is a man who is also one of the mighty and strong ones. So God the Witness, our God the Creator, who is the Father, God the Redeemer, who is the Son, and God the Witness, who is the second witness of the Father, the Redeemer is the first. Under their authority, there are 12 who are also mighty and strong. So all 15 of them are mighty and strong. So this whole idea, you know, one mighty and strong, there's actually 15 for this earth, 15. And they come in different places in history to do different jobs. John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John came to advance the ministry that Jesus had laid forth. All of those five were mighty and strong. Jesus is above them all, but all five of them are mighty and strong. Joseph Smith came as an Elias to prepare the way for Zion to be redeemed. He came to lay the foundation for Zion to be redeemed. There are others who come to do the work who are also mighty and strong. And they're on the earth right now. One of them is older. One of them is younger. Whatever, they're on the earth right now. And why did I even get into this? I need to just finish this. We're 90% through with the reading for today. But like I said, you can call in. Guest call in number is 917-889-8827. Also, if you want to message me on Messenger, I can contact you in another way if you want to talk privately. Because I think people do want to talk privately. But it's just kind of hard. But they don't want to be on the radio show because this is public. You know, they think if it's more behind the scenes, then maybe it's not so bad. Kind of like Nicodemus going to Jesus, you know. Hey, I'm going to come to you in the middle of the night where nobody can see me because I want to talk to you about things. Anyway, today we seldom, if ever, hear about the visitation and ministration of angels. It is evidence that they are probably pained in the doings of both Mormon and non-Mormon people alike. As a matter of doctrine, it is written that angels are about to come down upon the earth with destruction and pour vials of death upon mankind. Men who bear the priesthood should be on good standing with angels and have communication with them if they are to be saved from the pestilence that is to come. So, anyway, that's the end of this shorter radio program. Podcast. You can find this podcast at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. You can also find this program at iTunes for iTunes podcasting. We also, let's see here. I'm going to pull up a stats and it'll give me some information that I always forget. Excuse me. Okay, so we're blogtalkradio.com, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Chrome, and Podcast Addict. Also Podcast Republic, and there's others as well. And you know what? This program mostly goes to people in the United States, but it also goes to New Zealand, United Kingdom, Russia, and South Africa. But we're also in China and in Russia and in India, Pakistan. I mean, this is a worldwide podcast. So, all right. Well, you know what? I am going to be done with the radio program. And since it doesn't look like we have any guest callers, let me just check it one last time before I end the program. And, yep, we don't have anybody. That's fine. So I'll be done with the program. We'll be back on tomorrow sometime between 3 and 4 probably. And I'll continue reading part 4 of The Holy Priesthood, Volume 1. So thank you. It's chapter 5, part 4 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 1. Take care, everyone. God bless and goodbye. Mm-hmm.